My name is James Stewart. His name is Mike Riley, nicknamed by Tony Maserati as Sarge. Starting with this episode and on a weekly basis, we'll be talking about the great sport known as professional wrestling. Some of you call it sports entertainment. I'm a wrestling guy. I can't speak for anybody else, but that leads to the title of our show. Welcome to Wrestling from Inside the Ropes. Mike, what's going on?
Jimmy, Maz told me today the worst thing he ever did was give me that nickname, and he literally created a monster. So you're working with that monster right now. Here we go.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Yep, so one thing, the big story from today is at 3:05 today, World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, sent out a press release saying that Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to compete in a WWE ring. And they did the big speech on SmackDown about 2 hours ago from when we were taping, about 8 o'clock Eastern time. And they wasted no time in getting him right into the physical action, where they had, at the end of SmackDown, they had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beat up Daniel Bryan after he was fired. The crowd was there for it. The real newsy part of it is, according to Dave Meltzer today of the Wrestling Observer, Bryan went to Dr. Maroon, who is the prime physician for WWE, and asked him for the list of the doctors that he needs to go to and get cleared from. Daniel Bryan did that. He did some therapy, and all the doctors within the past year cleared him. And actually, according to Meltzer, some of them actually were very aggressive in saying that if you need me to get your back and push hard for you to come back, we will do that. So the WWE, after 2 years, they've changed form and they have cleared Daniel Bryan. Mike, what are your initial thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, unbelievable. Never thought I would have seen this within a matter of a year, Jimmy. And the fact that they moved so quick on it, like you said, with the doctors, and it seemed like for a long time that he was cleared by everyone else except the WWE, as you indicated there, and he would have been out of WWE maybe after WrestleMania. So a real surprise, not just to me, but everyone else as fans here, and that certainly opens the door for him to be in the ring within a matter of 2 weeks at Mania in New Orleans, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But awesome story, underdog his whole career, and here he is back on the biggest stage with the chance to compete physically. And pretty good quotes there for what his wife, Brie Bella, was saying too. Jimmy, if you remember what he said at the start of SmackDown, was when my wife kept telling me to go back and compete, keep going back, don't give up more words, which he kept doing. And that was motivation for him. Go see another doctor. Go to the next one there. Don't stop until you get cleared. So the motivation factor there, the chance to get the crowd into it like that, great pop. Good story all around here for Daniel Bryan.
So the wrestling fan in me loves this. I love the fact that I can see Daniel Bryan perform, and he's going to be in WrestleMania. I mean, that's, I think, where they're building to it. And WWE has two really good stories building to WrestleMania. Cena and Undertaker, which we'll get to later because we're going to do the Raw side of WrestleMania preview later on in the show, but this is the big story. And they're going to go with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. That's the long play storyline for SmackDown, we think.
Oh, totally.
There's an AJ Styles note that we'll get to in a little bit and how Daniel Bryan might be plan B for AJ Styles, but we'll get there. So the wrestling fan in me loves it, but the person in me is a little cautious of this because they went to such degrees before to say, well, he's having seizures and he's having this problem, he's having that problem. And I know, and I think you've sat next to me when there are people that I know on a personal level who are in the ring and something happens and it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Watching the final segment of SmackDown, like, I'm there for the comeback. But when he's doing the drop kicks into the turnbuckle and he's landing and he's taking a pop-up powerbomb on the apron, like, I'm kind of cringing because of the story that he told when he retired that he's had all these issues. And so that's where the wrestling fan in me is thrilled, is that I get to see Daniel Bryan compete more. But the fan in me, the real person in me, is really concerned for his health.
Yeah, it's a breath-holding moment. I'll give you that. And I mean, I don't know, Jimmy. I mean, WWE obviously had to examine this for their legality standpoint, and I'm sure they have so many lawyers on it. The fact that, okay, he's good to go, but it's on him if he does get hurt, where maybe they'll go down that road there, or obviously the agreement that they do have, but there's got to be something really heavy on Daniel Bryan here, that if it's him, obviously it's a freak accident, it's not going to be on purpose, it's on him, and the WWE will be cleared from it. He's responsible for dealing with that. It won't be a lawsuit against them to allow him to get back into the ring.
Well, so I had taken the stance at the time that the reason why they didn't clear him before was that they had taken this hard stance for so long is because they were afraid that if they all of a sudden cleared him, he sues mm-hmm. the company and he is now in ownership of the company, because that's kind of a big one.
What's I'm saying?
And I think the thing that changed was he pushed and pushed and pushed, and he went to their head trainer, their head doctor, Maroon, and said, tell me who I need to go to and get cleared. Yep. So I think what happened was he got all these clearances, and finally WWE was like, okay, I guess if they're all clearing you and you're getting this therapy, then like, why am I the dissenting vote?
And here's another thing too, Jimmy. Maybe they also saw, I mean, obviously the good story that they have here with it, it's great, but maybe they also saw from the other side of things, if Bryan cleared from everyone else and they're not clearing him, what's he going to do? He's going to bolt. He's going to go somewhere else. He could be the next Cody Rhodes. Look at all the success Cody's had in the independent circuit. They don't want that again. They want a star, what they can have.
Well, so I think this is an interesting point, is that with all the money that's out there on the independent scene, and we're probably at a point past where we're not calling New Japan and Ring of Honor independent promotions. But what right. I think is important is that Bryan has another outlet somewhere.
Oh,
and
totally.
If you're to believe that Dolph Ziggler is making $1.5 million a year, the theory is he had leverage between New Japan and Ring of Honor, and he could make that on the independent scene.
Right.
The Bryan contract thing is one factor. I think the fact that they cleared Kurt Angle and they put Kurt Angle in the main event of WrestleMania is a big factor too. And if you can clear Kurt Angle, how can you not clear Daniel Bryan?
I'm sorry, did you say Kurt Angle in the main event?
Yes, the main event, tag teaming with Ronda Rousey, and we'll get to more of that a little bit later on, because I have...
You think that's going to be the main event?
Yes, I do.
Wow, okay.
I think it's the last right. match, and I'll get into some details about that when we get there for our WrestleMania preview. But
I'm looking
forward
to that.
I think if you're clearing Kurt Angle, you kind of have to clear Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's one hand wash the other here. It's the same situation, and... You know, at least Kurt Angle had that chance. What was it at the
Survivor Series?
Yeah, and No Mercy too.
Yep.
Right before that, with all the guys with the viral meningitis. So at least he's got the reps in here. But a situation like this here with Daniel Bryan, you know, we're 16, 18 days away from WrestleMania, the biggest one coming up here, and a perfect situation. You throw him in a tag team situation with Shane McMahon, who's got the experience. He's going to help him out, no doubt about that. I thought that was the best match on the card last year, Shane versus AJ Styles to open WrestleMania. And, you know, Shane is a competitor. He's going to help you out there and make you the best product you can be. So that's a great situation. And maybe they even throw Daniel Bryan on a house show or two over the next couple of weeks.
So Meltzer kind of notes that he thinks that Bryan's going to work about 60 to 80 dates.
Okay.
So a full schedule is probably about 200, 250 days a year. Mm-hmm. Meltzer seems to think that it's somewhere between 60 and 80.
I can get on board with that.
There's another kind of note from Dave on this situation as it pertains to AJ Styles, who he said was, quote, hopeful for WrestleMania, unquote. And there was a mailbag question to him that asked if AJ can't go, would Daniel Bryan fill in for Nakamura, fill in for AJ Styles to face Nakamura.
Wow.
And to me, that's a money match that you don't necessarily need for Mania, but that's going to be a little bit down the road. And it's a match that I think both of them want. Nakamura tweeted that he was hopeful that that match would happen now that Daniel Bryan's cleared, but it certainly opens up a lot of different possibilities for the SmackDown brand now that Daniel Bryan's back in the fold as a competitive wrestler. And you watch his comeback on SmackDown and everybody was there. They were there for it. They went nuts for it. And maybe that's what SmackDown needs is Daniel Bryan as it's really its top star.
Oh, totally. And you know, just to touch on Meltzer real quick, Jimmy, I'm not sure if you saw his tweet earlier. He did say, don't know details on AJ's injuries past. It is legit, like you said, but he is on for Mania, right? Did you say that?
Yeah. He said today that AJ Styles was, quote, hopeful for WrestleMania.
Okay. So this one says he's on for Mania.
I have to think that AJ is going to be there for Mania.
I wholeheartedly agree. He will be.
Yeah. I happen to think AJ's a professional, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to say that his leg was mutilated before he would not be in WrestleMania against Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, that's...
Of course.
That's the match that they both want. And
yeah, this is what we're building up to, and it's going to be good, and that's why they put Nakamura winning the Royal Rumble. And to your point again here with the SmackDown show, where that just gives you that little extra bit of juice that I think SmackDown is the better show of the two. I really do. That just makes it, I think, even better than Monday Night Raw now with Daniel Bryan opening up all these possibilities where you have him and Shane take on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. Then you have the possibility of Daniel Bryan and Shane feuding together after that. And then, like you suggested, where the possibility of AJ Styles not being healthy, you could always throw Daniel Bryan in a title match, which I think will happen by the end of the year. How good would that be? A SmackDown general manager, a guy who came back, beat the odds. He's going to want to go for one. You know he's going to be in the title mix at some point. That is fantastic. A great storyline all around. Just opens the door for thousands of avenues here going forward on SmackDown Live.
Well, I think probably one of the things that you're going to run into, which is a little bit problematic, is Daniel Bryan can't be the general manager if he's going to wrestle 60 to 80 times a year.
Well, that's another thing, yeah.
And now that Shane is on his leave of absence, like you're gonna have to fill that power structure void there for the television show.
Right.
As far as Daniel Bryan getting the title, I think he's going to have to kind of earn it. And what I mean by that is, one, he's got to sign a new contract, which I think is up in October.
Okay.
Because I know from talking to my phone was on fire between this and the Kyrie Irving stuff today, but that's for Maz to take credit for. I think from people that I've kind of texted with and talked to today,
just for the record, too, Jimmy, the record, I believe it, not non-wrestling. What did I tell you last week in the Jock Lounge at the Sports Hub? Do you remember what I told you?
No, Kyrie Irving? Don't remember most of the things you tell me.
Well, shame on you. That's your loss. Because you know what I said, Jimmy? I said the Celtics are going to have to shut him down sooner than later. And if that's the case, then, you know, obviously just wait until next year because that knee is not healthy.
Oh, I don't remember this. I'll take your word for it.
Cross my heart, hope to die, Jimmy. I'm telling you right now, I don't want
you to die yet.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, though. But I'm not shocked if it's going to happen. Then just shut it down like they did with the IT last year. Or on the verge of being swept in a series, end it right there. Not worth it. So there you go. Just wanted to touch on that brief Celtics minute here on the wrestling podcast.
Yeah, Celtics minute. So to the Daniel Bryan thing is he's got to sign a new contract because I think it's up in October.
Yep.
The person I talked to about this was saying that he wasn't going to be part of the All In show, and they knew that. And you know, kind of a little nugget here is that they are pushing hard for CM Punk, which I think we kind of all knew. But so far, they haven't been able to meet whatever it is that CM Punk is interested in to do that show. And all he has to do is like drive down the street from his house. But you know what? If he's done with wrestling, he's done with wrestling. But I think that two things have to happen for Brian to get the championship, get a major championship again. One is prove his health, and two is sign his contract.
Yeah, and like I said, if he's going to be the champion, it's not going to happen until by the end of the year, and we're not even a quarter of the way through 2018. So like you said, sign the contract, could happen toward the end of the year. Plenty of time here, a lot of things to work with. And to touch on the CM Punk situation, do you know where Money in the Bank is this year?
Chicago?
There you go. Bring him back for that.
I don't think he's – I don't –
Well, can you imagine?
There's a 1% chance that CM Punk ever wrestles for WWE again. 1%.
Can you imagine if he ever did? I mean, the Chicago crowd always chants out CM Punk every time they're in town.
And that's why Cody and the Young Bucks and everybody who's invested into All In for September 1st, that's why they did in Chicago. One of many reasons, I think.
There you go. Yeah. So another possibility.
Do you, just the last thing I want to ask you about Daniel Bryan. Is do you buy into the conspiracy theory that Daniel Bryan was forced to retire because he wasn't one of WWE's guys and he was getting over and they didn't like it?
No, not at all. It's the health situation. I know that the whole conspiracy, I know you've talked about this before too, the same situation not being over. He wasn't one of Vince's guys. And then they put the belt on him there at WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. You know, and no, I don't buy into that. It just the health situation, and he nearly walked away. They would have said see you later to him, and they let him get back into it here for this. So no, not buying it.
So I feel like there's a little bit of something there. Is it like deep malice? I don't think so. But he wasn't their guy. They had a vision for him in a certain spot, and they had to alter their WrestleMania 30 plans to accommodate the crowd because they couldn't have a crowd just booing out of the building their main event. Although in subsequent years they've been okay with it,
right?
But you know, as Michael Hayes said to Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble documentary in Philadelphia in 2015, it's not about that particular audience. In the building, it's about the bigger scope and the bigger worldwide audience. And Michael said that to Roman Reigns, and it kind of gives you an idea of how WWE thinks on these bigger picture things. Because I mean, Roman is still moving merchandise, and you know, we'll get to what I think is going to happen in that match in a little bit when we go through our WrestleMania preview. But I mean, that's how they view things, and I still find that interesting that they care more about the guy with the clicker than they do about the person who, or maybe their theory is that the person who's there occupying the 18 inches of chair, we have their money, so let's try and get other people's money.
Yeah, I could see that. But, you know, Daniel Bryan, obviously a guy paid his dues, and he earned that WrestleMania moment there 4 years ago. And, you know, history is going to repeat itself in just a matter of a couple of weeks. Yeah, he's not going to be holding up the belts at WrestleMania 34, but he will be in the same arena where he won there 4 years ago. And, you know, ironically enough, making his return to the ring in that same arena, the same building, the Superdome right there. And that's going to be a major storyline, a big storyline for SmackDown and WWE to talk about over the next 14, 15 days going into WrestleMania 34.
I would totally agree with that. And next week we'll do right now there are like 15 matches on the card for WrestleMania.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a long day.
Yes.
You know, they say that the first match is going to hit the ring at 5:30. Eastern time, which will be 4:30 local time for Mike and I and Andy Wong and Joe Murray, who will all be sitting together in the Superdome in New Orleans experiencing WrestleMania live. And
first round of drinks on Jimmy.
If, as far as you know. And last year, I remember they turned on the house lights at 12:15 a.m. Eastern time.
Right, right.
So to give you an indication, it's going to be a long day.
It will.
And that's fine. But so for our WrestleMania preview, we're going to do this in two parts. I'm going to do the Raw side this week. We're doing the Raw side this week, and we're going to do the SmackDown side next week. And the week of WrestleMania, Mike and I are going to give you guys our favorite moments from WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of has stuck out in our mind, our favorite shows, our favorite matches, maybe our favorite vignettes, stuff of that nature. And that'll also kind of give you a background as to like where we became fans and how we became fans, and maybe a little deeper look into our psychology, and maybe it'll help you guys understand a little bit of where we come from when we voice our opinions, because really this is going to be mostly Mike and I talking and giving our opinions on wrestling and
you know what, Jimmy, who knows,
insights, and maybe we have informed speculation, maybe we're just gossiping. It's up
right
to you to decide what is what.
And I was going to say, maybe even down the line, get some interaction with people, Twitter, email, Facebook, stuff like that. Always open to that. It's great to hear from listeners and, you know, get their take on things and ask a question. Happy to answer anything that we may know, like you said, informed opinion or any sort of speculation that we may have insight to.
No, I don't want to hear from the people. I just want to hear us talk.
What a jabroni. Jimmy the jabroni there. Look at this guy.
I'm a heel. I'm a natural heel, or at least that's what I want to be.
Yeah, there you go.
So here's the Raw preview, and I'm putting in the Battle Royals, the women's side and the men's side.
Notice how you said women's side?
What did I say?
The women's side, no longer the Fabulous Moolah one?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, and you kind of do some digging onto why they changed it,
Yep. And
they didn't change the name because the fan outcry. Supposedly they changed the name because there was one wrestling fan who was friends with a very high up person at Snickers who questioned this. Why is this name? And presented this higher up executive with all the background on Moolah and what she did.
Mm.
And then the Snickers rep made the call to WWE and went, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And within 90 minutes of that phone call, WWE changed the name and got rid of the Fabulous Moolah.
And you got to go with the people who are in the Bills.
It wasn't the fans, as Stephanie McMahon wanted to tweet. It was the right wrestling fan, one, who knew the right high executive who made the right phone call.
Yep.
And that is amazing that's what it came to.
Jimmy, it's unbelievable what a dead president can do, isn't it?
there are a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
So Mike, what are your expectations for the women's battle royal at WrestleMania in New Orleans?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Jimmy, and this is where I think that they have to kind of do what they did with the Royal Rumble itself, the first ever women's Royal Rumble. And that is whoever wins, whichever superstar is to win the women's battle royal, gets to challenge the champion of their choice at the next pay-per-view. And the reason I say that is because, one, it'll build up the battle royal here. It draws interest to that. And two, the Raw and SmackDown shows after WrestleMania are going to be doing pay-per-views together. So that's a great way to, you know, co-brand them there, which they're already starting to do a little bit at WrestleMania with Asuka and Charlotte, you know, one from SmackDown, one from Raw. And I think that's a great way to, you know, bring that transition into it. So whoever is to win, I won't be shocked if they do announce either this week or definitely next week, the winner will get to choose the champ. And but as far as predictions, though, there's no doubt in my mind the writing is on the wall now that they're both in it. We saw them feud at the Elimination Chamber and even the Royal Rumble. Sasha Banks is going to turn on Bayley. No doubt. Sasha Banks is going to turn on her. It's going to set up a feud and probably have one of the best matches, I think, that'll build up to SummerSlam. Okay.
I am so happy that you picked Sasha Banks to win this and to turn on Bayley.
No, hold on. I did not pick her.
Oh, you didn't?
I think it's going to happen. But here's my winner. You want to know my winner?
Yes.
Becky Lynch.
And I appreciate that pick.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is because I think that Charlotte will win against, we'll save that for the WrestleMania preview, but you can kind of do it here because it is Raw SmackDown. I think Charlotte's going to beat Asuka, and then Becky Lynch will get that championship possibility right there against Charlotte, who she is friends with and so forth, at the next pay-per-view, and then Asuka goes back to Raw, you know, and she'll have her first loss. So that's what I got there. Those are my two big things of the women's battle royal, Sasha and Bayley official feud. Becky Lynch wins and then challenges Charlotte as the SmackDown champ.
So the Charlotte thing we'll save for next week in depth. But
like I said, you can kind of do it now with
I'm disappointed, Mike, I'm disappointed in you because I'm picking Charlotte to win to the shock of no one, right?
Okay, you're picking her to beat Asuka.
I was picking Charlotte to beat Asuka to retain her women's championship.
Same here.
I'll give you some more details on that next week when we do the SmackDown brand.
Okay.
As for the women's battle royal, Sasha Banks or Bayley is going to win. Those are the only two because they're going to use the women's battle royal to set up their program down the line.
Yep.
And I feel like because Sasha Banks sells more merchandise than Bayley does, mm-hmm. not because Sasha Banks is a better villain than Bayley is, but I think Bayley's going to turn to the dark side.
Really?
Yes.
See, but you know, the other thing too, Jimmy, I could see that, but from a business standpoint where you have convinced me on so many things from the business standpoint here, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of Vincent Kennedy McMahon. No, not going to happen. She's too much of a babyface. Kids love her. That would be not the equivalent of Hogan turning back at Bash at the Beach 96, but it would be a real huge turn. I can't see that happening.
So
when
Bayley was in NXT,
yep.
I was very aggressive in saying that Bayley is the women's version of John Cena.
Okay.
She's got the kids, she's got the color scheme, she's got the energy, she's good in the ring, like she's got the complete package.
Yep.
And then she got to the main roster, and not all of it's her fault, but she didn't connect like I envisioned her to. And she had two signature wins. She beat Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship, which ended Charlotte's pay-per-view streak.
Yep.
Bayley won it on the Raw. I should be clear. Bayley won it on the Raw and then successfully defended it on whatever the branded pay-per-view was before WrestleMania last year.
Fastlane.
Sure. Whatever.
No. Wait a minute. Yeah, Fastlane. Yeah.
The pay-per-view name doesn't matter. But she had that win over Charlotte at that event, which ended. Charlotte was like 19-0 on pay-per-views, a record that will never be beaten because Charlotte's the best ever. And then Bayley goes into WrestleMania and wins that women's four-way match and has a clear, decisive victory over Charlotte. And then they kind of didn't know what to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing was on the wall that they should have done something with Bayley and Sasha, but instead they had Alexa Bliss come over to the Raw brand and win the women's championship. And ever since then, Bayley's just kind of hanging around and hugging kids. And I love Bayley and I think she's great, but it doesn't seem like Vince sees anything in her. And, you know, during the course of this podcast, we're going to be saying Vince a lot because Vince is the one who makes those decisions. I think Triple H has input. I think Stephanie has input. But Vince is the principal owner. He is John Henry. He makes the final decision on what goes where, who gets hired, who gets positioned where. And
a lot smarter than John Henry.
I think that Sasha Banks sells more merchandise. And even though she's got better villain tendencies, I think they're going to try Bailey on the villain side. And
okay. All right.
I think that whoever, whether it's Sasha or Bailey, who wins this women's battle royal, I think Bailey's going to come out of it the villain.
See, I'm not shutting that down, and I'm not saying I'm not open to it. I just see Sasha turning heel, and it's just so much more logical.
Agreed.
For the fan.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and that's where me being the fan maybe is saying, Jimmy, I think you're crazy.
Which
but
is fine.
From you talking, the business standpoint, maybe it does make sense.
And
maybe it does.
One dark horse here as we wrap up.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler from NXT. I think she's a dark horse to come up to the main roster and win.
Now, hold on one second. Hold the phone real quick.
Or from the NXT roster, I should say.
Okay. Now, do you think they'll do the same thing that they did with the Royal Rumble, have some of the alums come back?
I don't know about alumna, but I do know that it's open to all the brands, NXT included.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if you saw, you know, legend here or there. I mean, historically, they'll just put everybody in there.
Yeah, and you look at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal a couple of years ago, Baron Corbin, NXT push right there. So,
absolutely.
Big chance right there for a situation like that. I wouldn't be shocked as well.
And,
but I'm going to go with I'm going Becky Lynch.
And with regards to the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, I think Rusev's the favorite here. Braun Strowman is in the tag team title picture, at least at the moment.
Yep.
And Rusev is he seems like he's the most over guy who could use a strong win here. And I think he would be the guy to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And I will allow for an Aiden English swerve and dumping out Rusev, much in the same way. I don't think they would do two swerves of friends in the same show, in the same type of match, but I would say Rusev's the favorite to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and he's my pick.
You know, and what about him being, you know, all this merchandise with it's Rusev Day and everything that's being over so good now? Would he get a title shot eventually down the line too?
Well, so I vaguely remember that Mojo Rawley got a title shot on SmackDown after he won the Andre Battle Royal.
Yep. Okay.
So I'd have to think that it would be in play. And this is kind of a bigger point, right? Is Rob Gronkowski's in Orlando. They being WWE, pronouns pal, are looking for their ESPN Sports Center moment.
Yep.
I think if Jinder Mahal had won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania last year, a lot of people would have felt differently about him getting a championship match against Randy Orton. A little bit further down the road and winning the title, because he would have had that signature win on a big spot. But because Gronk and Mojo are friends, and the Sports Center moment, I think that's what changed their mind. And that's why Mojo won and Jinder didn't. And there was resentment for Jinder because of it.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I can get behind that. I'm going to give you a dark horse, Jimmy, for this one. And this is going to be way out in left field, but I'm just going to go with it. For your Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner, I'm going to say Apollo Crews. And I'm only saying that. I know he's part of Titus Worldwide, but it's a chance for them to push that tag team a little more, a chance to put Titus Worldwide on the map. And maybe even, you know, this is me looking down the line here, setting up a feud between the two of them where Titus gets jealous of Apollo Crews if the tag team thing isn't working out there. And, oh, yeah, you won the battle royal. It's all because of me, stuff like that. It's so easy. It's so easy with a situation like that. So Apollo Crews, my dark horse pick to win the Andre the Giant battle royal.
So one thing on a personal note, and I think you'll agree with this, is I hope this is how Mike Kanellis Bennett gets to be in WrestleMania.
Okay.
He's come a long way, and I know that it's a dream of his to be a participant in WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully everything works out and he is a participant in this match.
That'd be awesome.
My dark horse, a returning Samoa Joe.
Wow. Great call. Didn't think about that.
And It would give him a signature, again, a signature win. He's a dominant force. And one thing that the Raw brand is going to have to set up is challengers for whoever comes out of WrestleMania as the Universal Champion, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Samoa Joe being out for so long, I think the crowd in New Orleans would get behind him as a surprise winner in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Is he going to be ready to go by WrestleMania?
I don't know. I think I remember when he had the injury, and I don't remember what the injury is. Somebody's shouting at their podcast app or radio, HD2 radio right now, saying it was this, and I don't remember what it was. But I think I remember the diagnosis is it was going to be either 2 weeks or he was going to be ready for WrestleMania.
Okay.
But keep in mind, too, that Battle Royals, they can hide injuries.
Of course.
People can come back too soon, and because it's a Battle Royal, and all you have to do is throw somebody over the top, and they can protect people.
And this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that would be a great opportunity for WWE in a situation like that with Samoa Joe winning it. Where in years past, Jimmy, I think you'll agree, they've had the opportunity to kind of, I don't know, really push it a little more and take off with the situation like that for Samoa Joe. I like your theory on that. I really do. They really haven't done that. They've had, Baron Corbin win it, and then that's great. But, you know, they gave him a little push, and that was really it after that. He hasn't done much. Big Show, we thought, was going to win that year. Then they gave it to Cesaro. Who won the other one there? I'm trying to remember. Was it?
I believe
Mark Henry?
Big Show won in San Francisco.
Big Show did win. He did finally win it after losing to Cesaro.
I think
Cesaro
it was Cesaro
in
New Orleans. It was Big Show in San Francisco. Baron Corbin in Dallas.
Yep.
And Mojo last year.
Mojo last year. So there you go. And again, Mojo Rawley, with all due respect to him, what has he done in the last year? They only had him on there to win because of Rob Gronkowski.
Exactly.
So that's why I think a chance for him to push it there. I'm buying into your Samoa Joe thing, but I am going to go Apollo Crews for my dark horse situation on that there. Maybe even Mark Henry comes into it as a Hall of Famer. He's going in the Hall of Fame the weekend going into WrestleMania, and you have the first ever Hall of Famer win the Battle Royal. Or bring a guy back like Batista, who's to say he may not show up. I know he turned down the Hall of Fame, but he might be there. We'll see.
I would think that they would have Batista in a higher profile match, but you never know.
Yeah,
way to bring him back. Speaking of people who I think should have been in higher profile matches, Braun Strowman at the moment is challenging for the Raw Tag Team Championship against Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yep.
I don't see WWE putting the tag team titles on Strowman, because I think that they have plans for him to do bigger things. I mean, right now he's their Andre the Giant, and I think he should be walking out of WrestleMania as Universal Champion, but he's somebody who doesn't need the championship right now, and I'd kind of rather see him not be a champion than be saddled with a secondary belt. And that's no disrespect, but I think Strowman should be in the main event picture.
Putting the Intercontinental Championship
or the tag team titles on him, I don't really think that accomplishes anything. I do like the fact that they've put him in a match with meaning, and I think whoever is Strowman's partner, because Kurt Angle said that, yes, we're going to honor him, we being WWE, is going to honor him winning the match against all the other tag teams for the tag team title shot. But whoever's partner is either going to take the loss, or they're going to do a count out finish or a DQ finish, because I just don't see WWE beating Sheamus and Cesaro on WrestleMania for the tag team titles. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and that tag team is pretty strong right now. They could kind of run with something like they did with the New Day, becoming a new record holder for longest tenured Raw tag team champs. They could do that. The possibilities are endless there because they're so strong in out of the ring. They're a good tag team all around. I'm with you there. I don't see that with Braun Strowman. And what scared me a little bit, Jimmy, with Strowman here, who was one of the guys that WWE pushed for a while. And I think that I really believe they've killed this character. Who do you think it is? They pushed for a long time. He's on Raw right now.
Pushed for a while and killed his character? You're not thinking of Elias,
I think. No, not yet. But I think they killed the character of Bray Wyatt. Okay, they had a good push for him. He was champion last year at this point. Character absolutely killed. That's what I feared they're going to do here with Braun Strowman. I feared that because you had a chance to cash in with the size. And I know I told you after the Royal Rumble, you have him in a three-way with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Not going to happen now. They had a real big opportunity there. Didn't happen. So I just hope where you're saying this stuff here, he doesn't need the title right now and the tag team titles, that's unnecessary. I just hope that they do realize what they have in him and don't kill the character, kind of like what they did with Bray Wyatt, because he's too valuable and you have a real big opportunity to cash in with him as a champion down the line.
No, and I think Strowman is, as I mentioned before, Strowman's their Andre, and he doesn't need the championship, but I think that there's such a fandom for him to win the Universal Championship that I think that that's probably the right spot for him, and not necessarily the tag team title situation. But it's a fun little thing, because I think he was Plan B if something happened with Brock Lesnar or if something happened with Roman Reigns, and neither one of those things have come to fruition.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. You're right, but you know this is a, and you know we're in the era right now where you know the titles change so often, and I won't even be shocked if he does win the Universal title at one of the pay-per-views going into SummerSlam. I really would not be surprised about that because that's the way things have been going as of late.
The Raw Women's Championship is going to be Alexa Bliss defending against Nia Jax, and I see Alexa Bliss retaining here.
Okay.
And
see, I don't have any.
I have a bigger picture reason as to why. But I'll get to that a little bit later on. What I would like to see happen in this match is I'd like to see Carmella cash in and
so make the jump from SmackDown to Raw.
And make the jump to SmackDown to Raw.
Kind of like with Asuka and Charlotte.
Very similar, yes.
Well, okay. Do you have anything else to say on that? Because I got a few things with you there too.
No, and it's just because like I think everybody thinks that Nia Jax is gonna win. Because she's the dominant force, and maybe she will win. I just in the bigger picture of things, I don't see the WWE changing five titles again like they did last year in Orlando. And again, there's a bigger reason for this that I'm gonna save for the main event, or the second to last match on the show. But I kind of see Bliss retaining here, and whether that's a Carmella failed cash in, or whether she takes a powder and gets counted out or DQ loss or something like that. I think Nia is in a similar spot to Braun Strowman where she doesn't need a championship. At some point she will, but I just don't think that this WrestleMania is exactly where Nia Jax picks up that championship win, and especially over Alexa Bliss, who is, I think she's the dominant female on the Raw brand, and that's why she's the Raw Women's Champion.
Well, all right, so a few things here. Nia Jax, she's kind of turned face a little bit. You know, and Alexa Bliss is such an easy hail, and she does a great job with it. But I think that this is where Nia Jax, I think she does need that championship belt. I think she does need it around her to, you know, kind of reinvent herself more or less and reestablish herself as a, or make herself a fan favorite where she can adapt to that and have the belt around her and become that real face there, where Alexa Bliss is so easy to remain a heel. And that just opens the door for my theory. When we went back to Charlotte beating Asuka, Asuka then comes back and challenges Nia Jax, who will win against Alexa Bliss. And that's where I see Alexa Bliss and Mickie James splitting up at WrestleMania, and then those two starting a feud right there. So Mickie James and Alexa Bliss, something happens there in that match, And then Nia Jax will then go on to challenge Asuka for the title, or Asuka will challenge her. But back to your point with Carmella, Jimmy, going in and cashing in, not going to happen at WrestleMania. I see that at a pay-per-view after WrestleMania. Again, going back to my theory with the brands going back together on pay-per-views here, the possibilities are endless now where they're all on the same show. So she could very easily do that at another one, but not at WrestleMania.
It's just it's something that I think that they've
I'm not ruling it out, but I'm just saying I think the possibilities are there and for down the line post-Mania.
it and I like Carmella, but it feels like they kind of forgot that she was the Money in the Bank winner.
Well, look at her. I mean, on SmackDown this week too, she was ready to cash it in on Charlotte there, but
Yep.
then they didn't even ring the bell.
And
So
it's
you're
like
right.
all of a sudden they remembered, oh, she's got a briefcase, we should do something with this.
Right,
And
right.
of course, I always get extra anxiety when a champion of mine is about to be cashed in on. I start freaking out. I think you watched that live at Clash of Champions back in
Oh, I did.
December.
Sure did, yes. Almost had to take you over to the Mass General right around the corner
Yeah, I know.
before a poopoo platter.
So one so the next match on the sh the next match that I have as far as the Raw brand goes.
I'll stay with you on this. It's fine. Go ahead.
Oh, you got something? Go ahead, Mike.
No, on your order. I'm agreeing with everything up until the very end, I think. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think we'll have a slight discussion as to who goes on last
Okay.
and why I think that the match that I think is going to go on last is going on last.
Okay. Sure.
So the Intercontinental Championship, Miz, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. I don't think Seth Rollins is going to win the Intercontinental Championship.
No.
I think that he's going to be the first challenger for whomever is the Universal Champion post-WrestleMania. So it leaves Finn Balor and The Miz as the people who potentially walk out with the championship. I think Maryse is due soon,
Yeah. Yep.
if she hasn't already. I know sometimes superstars will give birth to children and people don't find out about it for a year, even though some people know when it happened and those are covered up and the
It's
speculation
2018. How can he keep a secret now? It's like
and
impossible.
the dirt sheets are speculating that somebody got suspended when no, they took a week off so they could see their kid being born. You know what I'm talking about, and you
Of
know that
course, of
we
course.
won't say anything beyond that.
Yep.
So there's not a reason to take it off of Miz because his wife is due unless he wants to take the time off. I mean, Miz is
No.
there every week. He does everything.
Yep.
Personally, I'd love to see Finn Balor win.
Yep.
And I think he's somebody who is deserving of another run with a championship. And it'd be fun, but I think in the end, I think Miz is going to retain. For the bigger picture reason that I'm going to get to towards the end. But I think Finn's over and he doesn't need a championship. And I think Seth Rollins is going to be in the Universal Championship picture. So why not keep the Intercontinental Championship on The Miz?
Well, why not give it to Finn Balor either? I know you said he's over, but give him that title. He hasn't had a title since becoming the first ever Universal Champ, and this way it puts him back in the title picture. See how it goes over with the fans with the belt around him. I mean, Roman Reigns was Intercontinental Champion earlier this year, up until what was it? In January, right? Or
Yeah.
December? Yeah. So.
I think basically they took the championship off of The Miz because he was filming a movie.
Right.
So
But
they
I
gave it
think
to Roman so that he could say, if he wins the Universal Championship, they can say he's the only guy who's held tag team, US, Intercontinental, WWE, and Universal.
that'll be a grand slam, kind of like Randy Orton right now. Although Orton hasn't had Universal yet. But the thing is, though, with the Finn Balor, I think that he is going to win the Intercontinental title to get him a title run again. And then maybe toward the end of the year, have him feud for the Universal title. Because I think the audience should be able to hint here what we're getting at, who's going to win this Universal Championship. And I think he'd be a great feud for the current, well, whoever that Universal Champion is, toward, I don't know, maybe Survivor Series, even SummerSlam, but just put the Intercontinental title around him there. Miz is so out. Maurice is due. He's not going to be it. And I can get on the heels of Seth Rollins being the first challenger for you-know-who as the incoming Universal Champion.
And I think Miz is retaining, and I think I would lean more towards Balor winning it, but I'm a Finn Balor fan.
Yeah, I got Balor winning.
I think if you're putting a prediction on me, I'm going with the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, Maurice is due. I don't see it happening, and that's where I'm going to go with John Cena. I'll tell you about that prediction in a minute too when we get to that. I don't see the Miz holding onto the belt there. They had to get it off him for filming a movie, and now the birth of his first child, he's out.
So I'll tell you that I think the last few weeks of John Cena's, as we transition into talking about John Cena versus The Undertaker, which will happen. Like, they're telling us a story. It's okay. It's going to happen. It's going to be.
I mean, it's okay.
John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. We can have Cena bounce back and forth.
Why are you saying it's okay? What's so bad about that?
Because there is a group of people who don't want to see The Undertaker come back, who have not bought into John Cena going off in different paths and isn't sure where he's going to be for WrestleMania.
It's very disappointing,
all that stuff.
You
kind of have to understand that they do have stories to tell. Like, they're telling a really good one with Daniel Bryan right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they need something, because we've known about this card for, I mean, we read a lot. We talk to people a lot, and we've known that their direction for WrestleMania has been what we're talking about now, and it's been like this for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Cena Undertaker, because, you know, we were at the Dirty Dozen at Kowloon, mm-hmm. and we heard Bruce Pritchard say very clearly that The Undertaker was in the best shape he's been in a long time. And he's multiple years removed from hip surgery, and he's a few years removed from his first retirement in Dallas, where he threw his gloves into the ring after he fought Shane McMahon, which was his real first retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had his second real retirement last year when he lost to Roman Reigns. And I think as long as Vince McMahon writes that 6 or 7 figure check, you know, high 6, low 7 figure check for Taker, I mean, he's not going to be retired ever.
No.
So I think that one of the purposes behind the John Cena Undertaker match is the fans who may have left 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I understand that. I get it from that perspective, but as a fan, and I'm trying to put the fanboy pants off here with, the Undertaker, cause he is my favorite, as you know, be proud of this.
That's
you
a mistake.
No, it's not, though, because even look at it from, all right, I'm not going to compare him, but I will compare it. Tom Brady, who's to say he may not be, he probably won't be the same player. He definitely won't be. It's just human. But embrace it. Enjoy what you can get, because in 10 years, that ain't going to be around. In 10 years with The Undertaker, we're so lucky to have what we're having now in the bonus situation with him. Take what you can get. And I know people have ripped this, but it really is a dream match. And I don't care what people say. It is a dream match when you have a chance to get two of the biggest superstars in the history of the company in the same ring together. You cash in. And this is a money-making situation for both of them. They're going to tell that story. You don't need The Undertaker there for a good month. We're going to get him 2 weeks before. It's going to be Cena Undertaker. And it's a perfect situation where The Undertaker can have John Cena there, who will do most of the work.
By the way, you mispronounced John Cena there with people who will miss in 10 years.
That's cute. But I think I will miss him. I do like John Cena. I'm a big fan of his.
So I'm into the match. I'm a big John Cena guy.
Yep.
I think if The Undertaker is healthy and 100%, well, I think this is going to be a fabulous matchup.
And here's the other thing too, Jimmy. Is he coming back with the Dead Man or American Badass?
So I would think that he would come back in the same costuming that he was in for the Raw 25th anniversary show.
Okay, so I was going to say American Badass. And the only reason I say that is because last year he lost to Roman Reigns, garbage, and then he left his attire in the ring. You leave that attire in the ring, that's it. Undertaker, over time, had two separate gimmicks, more or less. You know, a real...
Well, the great thing about The Undertaker, Mike, is that he evolved and he would change certain things. So he would change something like the glove color from gray to purple.
Which is awesome.
Or he'd implement the mask when he had that facial fracture.
And all black. And...
Or he would change a little bit. Mm-hmm. But still keep the basic core value of the Undertaker character, with the exception of when supposedly WCW came calling and we want you as Mark Calloway. Mm-hmm. And he went to Vince, because he wasn't going to leave Vince, I don't think, and said, I want to change my character into a more reality-based character. And they did that, and then they changed it back because I think the people wanted it, because that's what they liked.
And not just the people wanting it, but now it's The Undertaker being wanted by the company here. So he's going to do it on his terms to come back, one more match, and that's it. Because the Deadman character is out, the American Badass is in, and that's what's going to happen against John Cena. Taker wins this one. Cena, he's getting married this summer, goes away, and then he'll be back maybe end of the year, Royal Rumble or whatever. And that's where he wins the 17th World Championship at WrestleMania 35 next year in New York.
Oh, wow. So this is a longer-term prediction. That's pretty good.
Yeah, just kind of like what you had last year with Roman Reigns
in
this situation. So I'm going with that there, with Cena taking it at WrestleMania 35 in New York.
So I would say this, is that if you think that...
And Taker's going to go in the Hall of Fame next year, too.
John Cena is going to be the champion a year from now.
Yeah, it won't be now.
Then I would think that they would put John Cena over.
No. He's getting married. He wants to go away. He's been putting everyone over.
So I'm not a
match with The Undertaker, you're still over.
But I guess my point is that if you're booking this out long term, mm-hmm. Cena has to go over. Because if he's getting a championship match against the winner of...
No, he doesn't need to be over in this match.
Oh, I think he does. I think Undertaker is winning, because I think John Cena is going to fight to the death to lose to The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, I mean, even...
But if you're telling me, Mike, that you're booking John Cena as the champion a year from now, then John Cena has to win this match.
No, he doesn't, because, Jimmy, what has been the theme here for John Cena at WrestleMania? What has been the theme?
He hasn't been in the main event. He hasn't main evented in I don't know how many years.
But okay, but also he
hasn't
had
29, so that's 5 years.
He didn't have a road to WrestleMania. He didn't have an opponent. He's lucky to have one here. He's been begging for one, and he's going to get dirt thrown in his face, what he is begging for, and it's going to be Undertaker winning here. He's going to take it down. Cena goes away. He comes back in the fall or whatever. And
but Mike, we're not disputing.
I'm
disputing your long-term booking plan.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. He's going to come back when he's ready for WrestleMania next year to win that title, to break the record, which is going to happen in New York at MetLife Stadium. And that's where he rebrands himself. Yep, I got I lost to The Undertaker. I had no opponent for WrestleMania. People forgot about me. Here I am. I'm ready for my title run. Boom. There you go.
I appreciate the theory. I disagree with it.
That's fine. That's why we have the show. Opinions, baby. Opinions.
So, speaking of the Universal Championship, this is going to be the semi-main event as far as the Raw brand is concerned.
That's going to be the first one. That's going to be the main event.
I don't think so. Here's why.
Okay.
Roman Reigns, they're trying to put this so that Roman gets a favorable reaction and Brock gets booed out of the building. I don't think that they're going to get that, and I think the Madison Square Garden crowd over the weekend is an indication of that. Even though they are trying really hard. And I think the reason why Triple H and Stephanie versus Ronda and Kurt Angle is going on last is because it's an opportunity for women to main event a WrestleMania, to go on last in WrestleMania. And I think that they could have done it with Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. They disagree.
Maybe that's not true.
And you also have this factor, which isn't something to be sneezed at because it's been a history of wrestling promotions for years.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the participants own the company.
Oh, of course.
And Stephanie has been very proactive in making sure that the women go in certain spots and are doing certain things and are pushed as main event competitors. And I think that her versus Ronda is going to be a longer term program.
Okay.
And this is a good way to start it off and saying Stephanie and Ronda were the main event of a WrestleMania. Never been done before. And it also puts in people's minds that as they've been building, the women go on last in the Royal Rumble. Hell in a Cell, we were there when Sasha and Charlotte went on last. All these steps to the process of this year, it's Stephanie and Ronda. Next year, it's Ronda and Charlotte. And that's the match that goes on last. Singles competitive women's match. This year it's the tag team, next year it's the singles match. And I think that's the progressive long-term step.
So my whole theme here is that I'm not shutting you down, but I'm shutting down the theory. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not saying I disagree with you that I don't like it, but I don't think it will happen. I think that they've gone too far here with the Roman Reigns test, and they're going to just put him on the main stage there. And I'm buying into your theory, what you had about a year ago now at this point. And Reigns will walk out of the Superdome there. And Brock Lesnar goes away back to UFC for the last time. And that's where they're going to go here with Roman Reigns. Main eventing WrestleMania, what, 4 years in a row now? Is that what it is, four?
It would be 31, 32, 33.
4 years. 34. So they're going to stay with that track record. And next year, it'll be 5 years in a row when he loses to John Cena at WrestleMania 35. So that's, I just don't see that them
so
getting off
I
that
can
track
see,
right now.
I can see, Mike, John Cena challenging Roman Reigns, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, we're a year out. We've got a long way to go.
But I also think that Roman's 31, John's 40.
So what? Undertaker's 52.
I'm just telling you that there's a longer-term plan here for Roman Reigns that has been kind of in a holding pattern since San Francisco at WrestleMania 31.
And it's going to come to fruition this year with that being a main event. That's going to be your last match, him and Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. And I do like your theory there with the mixed tag match for as a test, but I just don't see it happening. I think they're way too early for that with Ronda Rousey. Inexperience in the ring for a main event situation like that at Mania. That could be your second to last match. That may even be an intermission match, a match before intermission, like 2 hours into the show. Then the rest of it, you know, more championship matches or the Battle Royal or something like that. Reigns and Brock Lesnar, your main event, no doubt.
So allow me a little bit of a theory here.
And I love your theory. I do love it, but I'm not buying it.
This is a bigger picture, kind of deeper theory.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns is going to be the only new champion crowned this year at WrestleMania. He's going to win the Universal Championship.
Okay.
And he's going to be the only WWE wrestler who walks away as a new champion. And here's what sparked this opinion.
Okay.
Look at the history of booking when Vince McMahon wants to anoint the franchise guy.
Yeah.
And this opinion was sparked. We listened to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson,
mm-hmm.
the WrestleMania 19 episode.
I heard this last week.
Bruce's big point was Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 19, was the main focus of the show.
Because he was the guy.
Yep. He was the guy.
Yep.
And I think Vince is going to go for the same idea. And
15 years later,
if you look at what they tried to do in Dallas, the exception is Zack Ryder won the opening match in the Intercontinental Championship. I think I should have done the research on this, but I think that's true.
He did.
The rest of the card was villains winning. And at the time, I think The Undertaker was considered a villain against Shane McMahon because he was on Vince's side of the fight and Vince is the ultimate villain. That one's a little shaky, I admit. That might be the hole in the argument. But in totality, their point was to put the focus on Roman Reigns beating Triple H in front of 100,000 people. And it didn't work. But I think they're going to try a similar formula to what they tried in Dallas and to what they tried with Brock Lesnar.
Not happening. No. I'm sticking to my guns that you got new champs with Nia Jax, new one in Finn Balor, and even what about the SmackDown side? We're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah, we'll get to that next week.
All right, so you're even hinting that there's going to be no title change in SmackDown.
That's correct. AJ will retain.
Well, all right, save that for next week. Save it all for next week. But that's very interesting. Okay. All right.
So there's another there's another element to this that I want to kind of get to.
But that's the problem, Jimmy. It's not that I don't think that I understand your theory on that, but it's very hard to do when you have so many champions now. You have two shows. You get two.
They had five title changes last year, Mike. It's a bit much. Actually, here's on the spot. Can you name all five title changes?
Last year
in Orlando.
Naomi, Brock Lesnar.
Two.
Hardy Boys.
Three.
Randy Orton.
Four.
And who was five? Who was the other one? Why am I blanking on it? Oh, the Cruiserweight.
Nope. Neville retained.
Who was the fifth one? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I got to put up my...
That's pretty good, though. I got all four out of five.
Yeah, four out of five. Hang on.
Off the bat.
Naomi, three. Brock, Randy Orton, Hardys, Kevin Owens beat Chris Jericho for the U.S. title.
Okay. There you go. That's another one right there. Okay.
So those are your five.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's too much. Five title changes on one show.
It's too much, but this is the theme that WWE has gone in the last couple of years. A new champion, like almost every other month. And the fact that they can do it on the main stage where they can make a name for himself, the Super Bowl of the event of the year right there, and to say, at WrestleMania, I became the new U.S. champion. At WrestleMania, I became the new WWE champion. At WrestleMania, I became the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Stuff like that. That's where they find the chance to cash in here and build the character. And again, 15 years ago, I do know that their brand split was in there with the Brock Lesnar thing. Brock Lesnar winning that undisputed title. But this, it's changed, though. It's really, you have two women's titles now. Two! 15 years ago, you had the Divas Championship, or it was a women's title, but it wasn't as big as the Evolution is now. And we know how big that is and how important it is to Stephanie McMahon. It's, I like the theory, but it's not going to happen.
Takeaway that I think that
we're gonna make a theory. T-shirt here, Jay Stu's theories.
That's fine. Sell it, you know, and if you buy a shirt, theory. Mike Riley will call you.
the Catman theory, how's that?
So I do think that this should be a quick match, and by quick I mean 5 to 8 minute match.
You're talking Roman and Brock. Lesnar. Okay.
Roman and Brock went 16 minutes in San Francisco.
Way too long.
Roman and Hunter went almost 30 in Dallas. Roman and Taker went 23 minutes in Orlando last year.
Which was painful.
I think if they had a shorter match, it would be more impactful. Very similar to Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series.
Do you see the trend here, though? Do you see the trend?
The trend with Roman Reigns matches?
Yeah.
Brock, Roman Reigns, Hunter, Taker, Brock.
Reigns Undertaker match. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think Roman carried the match, but...
Well, he had to.
And I don't think Roman gets enough credit for carrying that match because...
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I didn't like the match.
Thumbs down. Okay, that's fair. Roman Reigns and Triple H. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I didn't like that match either.
Okay, thumbs down. So what do we have here at WrestleMania 31? Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
I liked that match.
You did? Okay.
I did like that match.
So you got one out of two, one out of three with a thumbs up.
Correct.
That's not even 50%.
But I think what... So Roman Brock, good match. I thought the story that they were telling was good.
Yeah, but then
Roman and Hunter, I give a thumbs down to because I was exhausted. And I got the story that they were telling, but they didn't need 30 minutes to tell it.
Way too long. It was way too much down your throat.
And Jimmy, last year with Roman and Taker, it just Taker, Roman was covering for Taker. And it was, I hate calling it a mercy kill.
It was. It really was.
That's how I felt about it.
I convinced two people sitting next to me and Andy Wong that Undertaker was somehow going to win. And they were ready to kill me afterwards. Like, you told me he was going to win. How'd you do this to me? I'm like, listen, I went with my heart, buddy. I'm sorry. But I really should have gone with my brain, knowing that there was no chance. 6 minutes, I'm cool with that. And then your first feud out of the gate, that just goes back to Seth Rollins cashing in there at WrestleMania 31. They know each other so well. Here's your first challenger. Boom.
I think I want to talk a little bit about the finish here.
Go
because
ahead.
There's been a trend of Brock Lesnar matches where it's one F5 and that's it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And I think the story of Roman winning and overcoming Brock Lesnar is going to be Roman Reigns is kicking out of multiple F5s.
Multiple? Kind of like with the tombstones.
Yep. And okay. I think that's going to be, and I'm going to go back and watch the match in San Francisco, but I remember Roman being beaten up for the duration of that match.
Yep.
And I think they're going to try to tell a similar story here.
Okay.
Where Brock is just dominating Roman and Roman's not quitting and Roman's coming back and then it's F5 and then it's F5 and then it's F5 and it's kick out, kick out, kick out. And then finally they do something where Roman either nails him into the ring post or there's going to be some variable element, whether that's the ring breaking or it's going to be some element that we're not seeing coming and Roman's going to hit it and the crowd's going to go nuts and then he's going to pin him and win the championship, the Universal Championship.
Yeah, okay, I could see that. And, you know, it's just I don't see it as a long match that we saw last year. Way too long, 23 minutes too long with Undertaker, 30 too long with Triple H. Short and sweet, and he gets his spear and, you know, the Superman punches in there and maybe even knocks out Brock Lesnar with the belt when the referee's not watching. He's going to take it easy. Lesnar wants out, and that's it. That's why Reigns is going to be your new Universal Champion, where this has been set up for a year now.
This has really been set up for multiple years. I mean, it's been set up since San Francisco, really, at 31.
Sure.
They just haven't had the ability to pull the trigger on it.
Sure, and again, I'm riding hot on yours here. Back to WrestleMania 31, that's just going to set up Seth Rollins for Roman Reigns right afterwards.
And then to our main event.
That was the main event, damn it.
Well, there's one more match on my format.
Oh, get out of here.
And this one's going on last, as I kind of specified. Like,
well, in your opinion.
In my opinion, that's why we're here.
All right.
To give opinions, right or wrong. Find me somebody who's right about every opinion, and I'll find you somebody who's doing overnights, okay?
All right, I think we know who that is, but keep going.
There are multiple people who fit that bill. So this is going to be your main event of WrestleMania. It's Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And I think as as we talked about before, the main goal is this is WWE's opportunity to put women in the main event of WrestleMania. And they want Ronda Rousey to be a big star. And I think the finish needs to be Ronda making Stephanie tap out to some super cool finisher we've never seen before. And I don't know what that is, but they need to do something with Ronda that makes the crowd go, ooh. And I'm kind of curious as to how they do it.
Yeah.
I think she's been training for a long time. I think she's had a contract for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think they're ready. And it wouldn't shock me if we find out that they've been working on this match. Like, I know they put a lot of time and effort into making sure that the Royal Rumble for the women's side was perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think it was as perfect a match as they could have had. And I think that this is what Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey, Triple H, and Stephanie are all doing. They showed some video packages with Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey training on Raw. Mm-hmm. I think what they didn't show you is Triple H and Stephanie training with them.
Oh, okay.
And I think they're laying out this match so that it's about as perfect as it can be.
Well, two things. I mean, yeah, they're obviously working hard, and Ronda Rousey has been, she's been under contract for longer than we think. But it's why put the pressure on her in her first ever match at WrestleMania to be in a main event like that? Why do that? And why maybe even disappoint the fans in a situation like that? I know you want to push her. I get it. The name and, you know, Kurt Angle, Hall of Famer, Triple H, and Stephanie, the story there. I get that. The names are there. The characters are there. That's awesome. But you don't put the pressure on them like that. That's not going to be the last match on the card. Just not going to happen. I see Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey winning, but it's not your main event. I maybe even Nakamura, AJ Styles could be your last match.
I think that's your opening match.
No, for the WWE title?
They put Sheamus and Daniel Bryan in that opening spot 1 year.
They also did put AJ Styles in the opening match last year.
Yep.
With Shane McMahon. I mean, I'm just saying, I think those have a better chance of being
so
in
Mike,
there
in,
over.
In my opinion, you kind of have some key spots as wrestling has kind of evolved. It's no longer like stack the back end of the card.
Right.
It's all about pacing the show.
Yep.
And I think like if you're in the opening match, that's a good spot. And if you're in top of the hour matches, those are the top spots. So how Raw is formatted now is more about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock overrun.
Which is still way too long a show, 3 hours, way too long.
If they get that Fox deal done, I think they're going to condense it to 2 hours.
And that very easily could happen. When is the contract up? End of the year, USA?
I don't know the exact date, but I think if nothing else, WWE is using Fox to get more money out of USA.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Fox actually get the rights to them.
Yeah.
And then put them on, you know, locally it would be Fox 25.
Mm-hmm.
Shorten the show to 2 hours, and then you put SmackDown on FS1.
Yep.
And you kind of roll forward.
And you got to deal with the XFL.
And then your football league is on FS1 as well.
Yeah, which is a great TV deal for them. So, yeah, I mean, I understand your theory there with Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle and, you know, Triple H and Stephanie for the main event, but I just don't see it happening. So, I'm very excited, though, for WrestleMania, Jimmy. It's going to be a lot of fun, and looking forward to talking about SmackDown next week.
Yeah, SmackDown next week. We'll probably have another news element. Maybe The Undertaker pops up on Raw. Maybe we get an official match between Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, and Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens that we can actually talk about. And as Mike said, we're going to do the SmackDown side of things next week on the program. Mike, any closing thoughts?
Just one thing totally unrelated to this, but again, next year, WrestleMania 35, it was announced this week that it will be at MetLife Stadium. I think we're not too surprised about that, but that just opens up a lot of possibilities for things down the line. And I'm sticking to my John Cena will lose to Undertaker, and he goes away for a while after getting married, comes back, and that sets him up. That's my hot take, that he'll be the champion walking out of MetLife Stadium next year for WrestleMania 35. So really excited. This is a lot of fun, Jimmy. And on Twitter, at Sarge95.
And so this is going to be a weekly thing. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. Hopefully you'll check us out next week. For Mike Sarge Riley, I am James Stewart.
Hey, Jimmy, I salute you, pal.
Thank you, Sarge. Bye.